I was telling Dan this morning, when we get together, we get together, when we come here, we have an appointment with God. So therefore, we set our time to start at 10 o'clock. And you know what? I don't like when people are late. And it should be the same for you. You know, we're not late for our jobs. You know, amen? And I bet you some people are going to come here this morning. They're going to be like, what? But we love them anyway. But I congratulate you for coming in God's house for this worship service on time. And I'm going to continue to encourage you to do so. And let's continue to encourage those that have a nature to be late. Hey. You can do better than that. Some people, they're just always late, right? But it doesn't have to be that way. So, let's go through the announcements. Once again, welcome to Lynnstown Community Church. If you're online and you're watching, I pray that the Lord will bless you today. And if you'll be watching this later, we ask that the Lord would cause his face to shine upon you and give you favor. You know, give you favor. If you're visiting us for the first time, welcome. If you are a returning guest or returning family, welcome. We're glad to have you. This weekend we have Larissa and Sean with us. They're a family, and we thank God for giving them the opportunity to come down and see us. We love people, and we miss people when we don't see them. You know, so, yeah, like I said here on your paper, we are happy that you are here, and we definitely would love to know you. And if you are here the first time, fill out our connection card. So that way we get to know you better. Today is our family feast, okay? I always put emphasis on that. We're not going to take communion this morning because we've done it during for Good Friday, all right? So we've done it this month, and I encourage all the cells to take communion in your cells. You know, when you get together, eat the Lord's Supper. And today, that's what we're going to do after service. We're going to go out there and we're going to enjoy a meal together. The question I had in my brain, and I was thinking about yesterday, and if you have the answer, you can write it down to me. Let me know the answer later. I'm wondering why some people or some of you don't stay for family feast. You know, and I would encourage you, you know, unless you have something else, you have an appointment, a place to go, sure, you can't stay. But then if we do family feasts, we eat together, why do we do it? We do it so we can get to know each other and share life together. And if we do it and you don't stay, that tells me you don't care, you know, so I don't think that's the way we should. So I'm encouraging everybody, if this is your church family, when we do family feast, you bring a meal, and you stick around, you talk to somebody, you fix relationship, you know, you pray. We pray for each other. The church, I tell you guys, the church get tired of meeting, and you've known it already, and I'm going to keep repeating myself until you get tired of me. It's more than a meeting. It's the life we share together. It's the eating together. It's the praying together. You know, it's going to home group. It's, you know, doing family feasts. You know, you ask each other, how you doing? You know, and you share your life stories together. And you pray for one another. So I encourage you to please. And this is a great opportunity for you also every second Sunday to invite a friend. Because, remember, I only know a handful of people. Especially being from, I'm not from here. So I'm getting to know people. Of course, I'm inviting people. But remember, a church doesn't grow with the pastor only. There's so much I can do when it comes to bring people in here. So it's all about you, us, all of us together. And Family Feast Day, I tell you, what a great opportunity to invite your neighbor. And what's the worst that can happen? They say no. You know? Invite people to come eat. You know? So, something else. If you want to know about our home group ministry, you know, call the office, ask us for more info. Every week, Tuesday and Thursdays, I do soaking. Soaking is a prayer time. Last week, we forgot to mention about David's Tent Ministry that was here this weekend, 24 hours. I tell you, I love it. I love it. I love it. Remember, when you read the Old Testament, there was never a time where the people come together and the focus was on the sermon. The focus was always on the Shekinah glory of the Lord. It was always, in our term, on the focus was on the presence of the Lord. Because when the presence of the Lord comes, that's when people change. That's why for us here, our focus, I mean, yeah, I take time, I pray, but this week I had like 3 sermons cooking in the oven. But I'm like, God, what do you want me to talk? I don't want to come up here and talk to you. I don't want that. You think, man, that should be easy. Especially if you like talking. Some of you don't like talking, but it looks like I do. So anyhow, please, if you're able to join me for soaking, come. If not, join online. It's live on Facebook. And then every other Thursday, we do what we call Beyond the Veil. And I'm going to talk later on about what it means to go beyond the veil. Last week, it seems like, you know, there was an excitement, right? I mean, there is an excitement today. But last week was what? Easter. He is risen. Everybody was like, everywhere he's risen. What about today? Today he lives. You know, today he lives. And because my Savior lives, what can I do? I can face tomorrow. Because my Savior lives, of course, I'm going to talk about it today. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You take delight in the Lord. I'll tell you, I'll share a verse the Lord gave me this morning when I woke up. It's Psalm. Open your Bibles. Psalm 37. Let's read it. Psalm 37. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you notice, this is the announcement. This is not my preaching. I don't know. I just had something about today, different, you know. Psalm 37, verse 4. You find it in your Bibles? It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Take pleasure in the Lord. It's like love. What do you love to do? I tell you what I love to do. I met James, right? James? Josh. Josh and Hannah, welcome. It's good to have you guys. But I talked to Josh this week, and Josh ride a motorcycle. And I also ride a motorcycle. I love my bike. And I tell you, I love therapy. It's like my therapy. Okay, so there's a stretch on Mount Pleasant Road. It's a long stretch. And when I ride my bike there, I'm always like hoping that the upcoming traffic is empty. So I can at least go 15 over very fast and quick follow the speed limit. I confessed, okay? But I tell you guys, it feels good. There's a rush, right? Right, Josh? Unless you ride a motorcycle. I know it's very scary. It's not safe. But there is something for those of us who loves it. There is something that happens when the wind, you're feeling that warm air, not cold air, going through your face. It's they take delight. So I take delight in riding my motorcycle. So therefore, when I get here, I feel like, yes. Or when I go back home after my ride, I feel like, yes. It says, take delight in the Lord. So this morning, as we sit and we open God's word, and later on, we're going to take some time in worship. As we eat together, let's take delight. Make the Lord your pleasure. I love the Lord. You know, God, I love you. When you worship him, guys, be free to lift up your hands in worship. I love the image we have here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? To just like freedom to worship him. There's freedom to be. There's freedom to just like, of course, you can be like that too. Now hear me. You can be like that too. But something we don't understand in our democratic mindset, we don't understand when you worship the king, worship attitude comes with humbleness. It's like, man, I humble myself. Yes, Lord, you deserve it. When you do this, it's like, I surrender. So take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. So then, if I would ask, what is your heart desire? Anyway, maybe I should prepare a sermon on that, but let's go. Verse 5, it says, commit everything you do to the Lord and trust him. And that's what we do this morning. We trust him. We also trust in God for provision, because ministry doesn't happen without money. So we thank God for your faithfulness. We thank God for your generosity, for giving towards our projectors and the cables, many different things. So may the Lord bless you. May today you be reminded again that God is your source, not your bank account, not even your job. God is your source. He is my source. So thank you if you are a faithful tither and donor. And there are many ways you can give. You can give online. You can send a check. You can drop it here, out there in that slot front. So thank you so much for supporting this ministry. So let's pray. Father, I thank you today as we open your word. Lord, man, we love you. Lord, I bless each person here and those that are watching online. I ask that your presence would surround us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take what belongs to the Father through your word and reveal it to our hearts. Fill us up with your presence, Lord. We are hungry. And even if we're not hungry, Lord, I ask that you would create that hunger for holiness in our lives. That you would create that deeper thirst. Or a sense of, man, I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want more of Jesus. I want more of his holiness. I want more of intimacy with him. So we thank you, Father. And I pray that you would bless everyone that are supporting this ministry financially. Lord, just continue to be their provider. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message this morning, do you guys have my video ready? It is, are you empty? It's a question. Are you empty? Or in case you might not be empty, but I know there is, if not all of us, I have felt that way. I have felt sometimes in life, at times where I'm like, nothing makes sense. You can't press. You can't worship. You discourage. You depress. You dealing with, you feel like, man, I don't want to continue, you know? So there's a video I want you guys to watch. Is it ready? There you go. Watch this.
Peter, Zarek.
What the fuck?
So you and I wouldn't be empty. Wouldn't even feel empty. I live a full life. For instance, I want Kendra to come up. This weekend, I challenge all of you girls, all of you ladies, to make it a priority to come to our weekend this Friday. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, we just want to say thank you to everyone who signed up. We have about 24 people coming, so I'm really excited. Nancy and Kirsty in Florida are ready to come. They'll be here Thursday, and Kathy and I are working in the office getting some stuff printed out. So it starts Friday at 6:30, but the doors will be open at 6 if you want to grab some coffee or tea or some snacks before we start. And then Saturday, the same thing. We'll start at... What time does it say?
6 o'clock.
No,
Saturday 9.
Is it 9?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right here. It's in your bulletin. Yep, 9 o'clock. 9 to 6 Saturday.
Okay. So then at 8:30 then we'll have some breakfast stuff that you guys can grab and coffee and all of that good stuff. We also have lunch and dinner provided. We have a friend of ours that's coming from North Carolina. She's going to make all the food. And we have some people here from Lansdowne who donated some money towards the food. So super, super excited about all of that. If you have any questions, just contact me or you can leave a message at the office. Kathy can answer any of your questions. Just very happy for what God is going to do. This is an appointment that we're having with Jesus, that we're making with Jesus. And we're just going to take time out of our schedule and out of our lives to just be able to sit at his feet and hear what he has to tell us as women, because he wants to speak to us. And one thing that just gets me so choked up every time, like this video, Jesus appeared to a woman first. Women have been mistreated over the centuries, because the devil knows how important you are to the world. And I just think Jesus appearing to Mary first, and she was responsible to tell the disciples and to tell everyone else that he is risen. And I just love that. So prepare your hearts, because he's going to do some awesome things amongst us. He's going to be here. We're going to meet here in the sanctuary and then eat in the fellowship hall. We're just going to have a good time together. So thank you for everyone who has signed up, and we'll see you then.
That's good. All right, ladies. So guys, encourage your ladies to come. Emptiness means you're lacking something. You're missing something. But what should you do if you feel empty? If your life... is pretty much, I mean, if you think, because there's no one, their life is not worth it. Your life is worth living. Your life is worth living. But we all face with the sense of emptiness. I'm empty. Man. I mean, just go there with me for a little bit. At the time, you felt empty. Maybe this morning, you're not feeling empty. Maybe this morning you feel like, yes, man, like me. Winter is finally over. You know, it's like, oh, man, I tell you, I love, last night we were having a nice little conversation about the seasons. And I said, and seriously, guys, whatever you think about what I'm going to say, that's your problem. Because they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? But I think winter is the ugliest season ever, all right? Please keep your comments for yourself. It's cold. My bones are cracking. I'm like, I'm miserable. Yeah, man, it's warm, yes. Oh, man, you know, the flowers are blooming, the trees come alive. I'm like, yes, bring this on. But I know, most of you are going to be miserable in the next couple of months, 6 months, because summer's coming. But I'm going to enjoy it, and then you can laugh at me when next winter. So, you know, but thank God he never changes, right? Our God remained the same. You know, let me ask you this. How many of you, if you would know what to do to be healthy, would do it? How many of you, if you knew what to do to live spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy, and physically healthy, you would do it? Well, you know what? That's almost kind of a dumb question. Most of us should do the things that would contribute to our spiritual well-being, physical well-being, and emotional well-being. But unfortunately, not all of us does that. Not all of us does the things that are good for us. For example, I was talking to a friend Friday, and we were talking about the fact that everybody is looking for attention. That's why you've got Facebook. Those guys are making a lot of money. You've got Instagram. Everybody is looking for attention. Everybody, and my friend says, you know what? I realize one of my problem is I'm looking for approbation. I want people to like me. And we post things. Now, remember, there's no judgment here because I dealt with the same thing. But I'm working on it. So therefore, I stopped using it. It's good to have Instagram. It's good to have Twitter. I mean, I don't have those. I stopped using Instagram and Twitter. But I use Facebook as a platform to preach the gospel. But ask yourself, why does all of us crave for attention? I mean, there's another question. Is smoking good for you? No. I went on the internet and I read all the... I look for any benefit in smoking. I find none. So therefore, if I love myself, remember what I told you, and the Word of God said it, you cannot love people if you're not in love with yourself. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping yourself. Self-worship. No. Because when you encounter Jesus, one of the first things he's going to do to you, he's going to change your mind, and you're going to see your value through him. Your value is not going to come from a bunch of likes, a bunch of what people think about you. And most of the time, we do think like that. That's why people feel empty. We're looking for love. But I'll tell you, the day you start loving yourself, man, love yourself. Take care of yourself. Don't feed yourself junk. Don't smoke. Why? Because it's not good for your lungs. Well, are you young right now? I tell you, if I'm at 44 taking care of myself, when I'm at 80, I'm going to be a good 80 years old. Hopefully. Things happen. But at least my goal is to be what? Taking care of myself emotionally, spiritually, physically. That way I can enjoy good life. It's not religion. It's not. So what should you do when you feel emotionally, spiritually, or physically empty? You know, everyone has felt that. The sense of emptiness. All of us have before. You know, and then Paul, he told us something. I have a slide here. One of the first things to do when you feel empty, keep the faith. You're feeling empty? You're feeling like, man, I want to give up? Keep the faith. The tomb is empty. Like I said, you might not feel empty right now. But for future, you know what to do. I tell you, if you ever feel empty, somebody could ask me, it's like, how come you always happy? I tell you, I'm not always happy. And I'm not putting a front. I'm not just coming here and pretend everything is good. No. I'm not like that. I can't do that. But you know what happened? I am constantly with Jesus. So when I have issues, me and Jesus, we talked about it. And the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, we talk about it. I cry, I scream. He rebuked me. I repent. I move on. That's how I grow in the Lord. That's how you're like, man, how come your joy is perfect? My joy does not depend on my relationship with my wife. Thank God we have a good relationship. But I am happy because I've got the Lord and I know who I am in Him. The life circumstances will always kill your joy, your faith. And the first thing Satan wants to attack in your life, next slides please, is your faith. John 10:10 said, I am, Jesus said, I am the way. No, that's not the verse. And the thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. But I came so that they have real and eternal life. I love the message. You see, the world does not offer real life. See, whatever the world offers is temporary. Guys, even that new toy you want to buy, you think, man, I know for a fact when I get this toy, guys, I'm going to be so happy for one day. I've been there. But when you are content, I will be content in every circumstance. There's a new song I'm learning. Jireh. Jireh is enough. Jesus is enough. He's enough for me. He's enough for you. He's enough. I will be content in every circumstance. I read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us to do. Now, I like the way it says it in the NLT version. It says, God saved you by His grace when you believed in Him. God saved you. It's all by grace. Nothing you can do to inherit God's love. And you can't take credit for this. That's why don't let anybody make you think they're more spiritual than you are. Mm-mm. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. It's all by your grace. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. You know the reason this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 in the NLT, I love it. It pairs with Romans chapter 5. There's a verse in Romans chapter 5 says, while we were yet sinners, what did God do? Man, He gave us love. For God so loved the world that He gave. God gave you faith when you were saved. So when you're feeling empty, I tell you, hold on to your faith. I like this picture. Right? You remember this guy? What's his name? Rick Walenda, who walked the Niagara Fall on a... Man, he's good too, but he had faith. I'm not going to try that. Believe me, I am not going to try that. See, number two, the other thing, I'd say one of the other things you can do when you feel empty, either spiritually, emotionally, or physically, is to dwell on God's power. Dwell on God's power. I read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power. 1 Corinthians 2:12, if you open your Bibles, let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 2:12. That's one of my favorite verse about the Holy Spirit. Did you find it? 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, and God has actually given us His Spirit, not the spirit of the world. And we have not received, we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. Why? Everybody else is fine. Know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So therefore, everybody else is functioning under the influence of the spirit of the world. But guess what? Me, I'm not. When the world's going crazy, when the world is afraid, when the world's like, man, this thing's going, coming to an end, and people are panicking, freaking out, guess what I have? Peace. Why? Because I know my God lives. I know the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty, so I wouldn't live an empty life. That's it. Like I said, you might not feeling empty now, but all of us have dealt with emptiness. Open your Bibles again in 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3, 4. 2 Peter, thank you, Lord, for your word today. 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 1, 3. As we know, let me find it on my iPad. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter 1, 3. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Let's not rush to this. When the Bible makes mention of God's divine power, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So right there we say, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of God, God has given us everything we need. Oh my goodness, hallelujah. Everything, what do you need to live a godly life? It's right here, available. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence, verse 4. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enabled you to share His divine power, divine nature. Guess what? I share God's divine nature. Ooh, this is the good news. This is not the gospel that makes you feel you're nothing. You sinners. You don't get it. You liars. You adulterers. No. This is not the good news. God loves you and He wants you the way you are. Guess what? If you have to change your life, if you have to put your acts together before you come to the Lord, then the cross has no power. That's why we come as we are. And give the Holy Spirit chances in our lives. Repent when He convinced you. When he rebukes you, you make the right changes. You know what makes a dead church? A bunch of empty people. You know what makes empty preacher or pastor is when you're just going through the motion. You're not dealing with your stuff. And you don't get yourself in the position to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because every day, guys, you guys know it. I don't have to tell you, but I will. If you don't position yourself under the care of the Holy Spirit every day, this life, its trouble renews every day as much as the mercies of God renews every day. The worries of life renews every day. That's why Jesus said in the word, why worry? Would your worries change anything? Remember, when you're feeling empty, hold on to faith. Because the moment you start believing, this is when everything goes down the drain. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. In view, or not, hang on. The last part of verse 4. It says, these are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature, number one, and then escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Wow. So praise Lord. Hallelujah. I get to be escaped from the Lord's corruption. So the world is corrupt, but I don't have to live under the influence of that spirit of corruption. So therefore, my life is a life of integrity. My life is a life that lives in the light. Hallelujah. This is the good news. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Ah, verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort. This is our responsibility now. See, the verse 3, 4, 5, those are the promise, the things the Lord does. And then jump in verse 5, it gives us our responsibility. What is it? In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith, with generous provision of moral excellence. So therefore, if you say you believe, you should be a moral person. I don't want to take the time to go in deep into this. You should be a person of integrity. And moral excellence with knowledge. Learn from the Lord. Learn of the Lord. Educate yourself. Participate in Bible studies. Not only, but it says here, learn from the Lord. Later on, I have a slide that talks about clarity of mind. You know, one of the things that cause people to be empty is when you allowing toxic things to constantly coming in your brain, in your mind. This week, I stopped listening to the news. It's been probably since January. I haven't sit down and watched NBC, whatever, Newsmax. I haven't, because I realize it's too toxic. I refuse to sit around and let that poison me. I refuse. I can't do it for you. And I know a lot of people, they're discouraged. Your mindset is the way it is because you sit around and allow MSNBC, all those news, Fox News, Newsmax, conservative or liberal, you allow them to toxicate your brain. That's what happened. So of course you're like, man, why am I so discouraged? Well, what are you feeding your brain? What are you feeding your mind? Are you learning? Are you keeping a kingdom perspective? Can I have an amen? This is reality. This is not just, guys, God is good, the sun is bright, you know what, it's all. This is the real gospel. Those things, you apply them in your life and you live a good life. You will be blessed. You will be. Knowledge with self-control. Between knowledge, I'm reading the end of verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1. Moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. You control yourself with self-control, with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. We need to love one another. Don't expect people to love you in way. Let me rephrase that. Don't expect people to love you when you're not ready to love them to the same level of love people before you expect them to love you. Do unto others what you wish they would do to you. Do unto others what you wish they would do to you. People are miserable. Be patient with them. People are frustrated, especially now. Financial difficulties, family difficulties, COVID-19. Man, I rebuke COVID-19. I hate COVID-19. COVID-19 is not just a virus. It's an attack against families. It's an attack against the church. It's an attack against the core value of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is community. The kingdom of the world is isolation. There's one thing that grieves me coming from a culture where we live in community. Here, everybody, every man is for themselves. You understand me, mama? Everyone, every man is for themselves. Neighbors, they don't talk to each other. They don't watch out for. I mean, if you live in a community where you've got good neighbors that wants to do life together, that's good. I love the fact the other day my neighbor calls me. She says, well, I've got this problem. She knows I'm a plumber. And I went over, I fixed it. I love that. It's like yes, that's how we live. You know? And the next day we visited her and she realized she was going through some tough time. We asked, could we pray for you? She's like, yes. And the next time I was there, she started bawling and just telling me her life stories. But the mindset, even religion, cause us to get into the state of every man for themselves. It's my life. It's your life. Well, of course, you got to protect yourself because now people take advantage of people. They take advantage of your goodness. But still, verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection. That's why when we do family feasts, you stick around. Unless you have an obligation, you can't be. You make it an effort. This is my family dinner. Yes, I stick around. I invite someone. Oh, man, verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection. I'm going to repeat it again. And brotherly affection with love for who? Everyone. Love for everyone. Now, verse 8 says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord. I tell you, this is one verse in the Bible. I underline this. I actually know it by heart in Creole. I need to learn it in English. I know this by heart because it's like the more I grow in from verse 3 to verse 7, the Bible says the more I grow in doing these things, the more I grow like this, the more productive and useful I will be in my knowledge of the Lord. Meaning, the more I grow in these things, the more my action will reflect it, the less it will be head knowledge. A lot of people, they have head knowledge of, oh, this is what the word says, but do it. We've called to do. And apply the word of the Lord. Verse 9 says, those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their sins. So dear brothers, verse 10, and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. How many chosen people we have here? Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, well, work hard to prove that you're not just saying you're God's people, but your everyday action, the way you treat people, in your faith, it's showing that's who you are, for sure. You know, the other thing you can do if you're feeling empty, I touch a little bit about it. It's, I call it clarity of mind. Read. Get away, get out of your life anything that is toxic. Now, don't become enemies with anybody. But if you have somebody like that, a friend, please, this would be a good time to just, don't defriend them or unfriend them on Facebook making a bold statement. Just don't follow them. Sometimes I tell you, it's even good to fast Facebook for a week. to say, you know what, I'm not going to go on this. And then you're going to see how much power Facebook's got on you. I'm challenging all of us to do this. I've done it, okay? I'm not telling you something I haven't done. There was a time I realized, no. I don't have to post everything on Facebook. I mean, what the heck? Help me out. Why do I have to post everything on Facebook? I'm going to the beach. Click. Oh, the sun is beautiful. Click. Now, I understand a family group. I know some of you might think I'm ridiculous right now. I sounds weird. But I'm talking about self-control and toxin. And not everything on Facebook is toxin. Clarity of mind. Now, I'm not talking about for you to do yoga and all that stuff, all right? Don't open yourself to every spirit out there. But do things that brings clarity of mind. Go for a walk in the woods. Don't stay inside all the time. I used to be an inside buddy. I loved the couch. Used to. Not anymore. Now, if it's cold, guess what? That's where you find me. If it's warm, oh man, I don't know. We're doing things outside. Clear your mind. Mentally, clarity. You know, the Word of God would call it sound mind. A sound mind is stirred up by feeding things that are good. Thinking about things that are good. Watching things that are good. I am so surprised the junk and garbage people are watching on Netflix and they call themselves kingdom people. The dirty shows they watch. This is not religion. And you think, why? You're asking yourself, why are you so negative? You're asking yourself, why you think all your husband's always cheating on you? All you watch is cheating shows. People watch Medium and all those crazy things. They're attached with evil spirits. Listening and read things that are right, things that are true. Listen to what it says in Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So every time you have a bad thought against someone else, that's a demonic thought. You should always think good about people, but we don't always do that. Mental clarity. Jesus said in John chapter 17, it says, Father, I pray that you would sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. So, talking about mental clarity, you got to read the word. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. I mean, you think, well, this is what we teach little kids. And we forget about it. You don't grow out of that. It is the foundation of our lives. You read the Word of God. You meditate on 12, verse 1. You meditate on the Word of God. That's going to change your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You want to think like God? You want to see things like God? Well, you got to put God's thought in your thoughts. Well, how do I do that? Read the Word. Know God's Word. Every situation that you face, you realize, oh, this is what God's word says. This is how I should act. Clarity of mind. There's another one. The word of your feeling empty, or whenever you feel empty spiritually, share your testimonies. And I write down here, when was the last time you witnessed to someone? Don't tell them Jesus just loves them. Witness. Share your testimony. And I'm talking about to all of us. I'm talking to all of us. You overcome spiritual dryness with your testimony. What's your story? What has God done in your life? See, people like stories. Tell them your story. And don't try to tell them the pretty story, you know, when things were nice. Tell them the ugly. Tell them when God, you know, when you were really bad. That's why some of you still now, when I tell my stories, even people that knows me now in Haiti, they're like, really? You used to be like that? Yes, I don't lie when I preach. What I tell you, it is. I didn't used to be this nice. I'm really nice now. It's the Lord that has done that to me. I didn't like people. I didn't care about people. I wouldn't give a whoop about you. But I love you now. I love family. I love my family. I love even the ones that are unlovable. I love even the ones that have taken advantage of me. I love them. I forgive them. This week, I tell you what happened. I have one person that is very dear to me, and I find out they've been taking advantage of me. And I thought they were honest. They are a little bit, but most, I mean, it's like things are coming in the light. Guys, my heart burned. My blood. I don't know if you guys ever had that experience when your blood boils and you feel it boils even in your brain and you realize, man, I want to choke him. I want to get revenge. I want to do all this. Well, guess what? I really had a bad night that night. And the next morning, I listened to 3 sermons on forgiveness. I had my headphone on. I listened to 3 sermons, about 3, one was 30 minutes, the other one was 22 minutes, the last guy was 45 minutes. I listened to 3 sermons, and then at right at the end of the 3rd one, I said, yes, Lord, I forgive them, thank you, Jesus, yeah, you forgive me, I release them, and guys, I'm free. I'm free. It's between them and the Lord. I said, God, I did my best. But what they did is between them and the Lord. Your testimonies. Someone needs to hear it. Share it, please. You know, the other thing you can do, and I have 2 more I'm going to share with you as I ask Dan to get ready. And we're going to worship for a little bit. You know, when you are, or you're feeling empty, when you are empty or you're feeling empty, overcome it with feeding yourself, I mean, with finding God's calling or purpose. Purpose. You know, what is your purpose? Guys, listen to me. God did not bring you on earth so you could eat, sleep, work, repeat. It rhymes. Eat, sleep, work, repeat. And when I say repeat, you do it again. Monday, man, people say, I hate Monday. Oh, Friday is finally here. Sunday night, I hate Monday. Oh, man, Friday, woof, right, it's payday. I tell you, and then Monday comes. Repeat. God has a greater purpose for you than just living a miserable life. God has a call for you, and he wants to use you. It might be at work, job. You know, like Sean here, he's a boss, and he's ministering to his guys. Whatever you do, it doesn't have to be a pastoral position. God will bring people in your life every day, even at the store. Take time to listen. There's a greater purpose. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that for those whom God loves God, all things works together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose for you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now listen to this. To this generation. So let your voice be heard. Speak it. And the last thing you can do, if you would ever feel dry or empty, is know that God cares. If not all of us, but most of us here, we have kids. You never thought you could love somebody else like you love them, right? You see how much you love them? Man, I had no idea. It's like, man, Emily right now, she's beautiful, adorable. I love her. Man, I'm like, I'm, you know, all day yesterday, I'm going back to when my kids were that age. How I love that stage. It's like, man, you can't sleep at night, but it's like, it's so nice. You tell them things, you know, they depend on you. And then they grow up. And you never stop worrying, right, Kathy? They're a teenager, they start driving, you never stop. They're married, they start having kids, you never stop. How much more our Father in heaven cares for us? He does care. He never leaves us. He's always worried. You know, I guess I had one more, joy, and I'm finishing with that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's where I start, to take delight in the Lord. You know, as we worship, I don't know, maybe you feel empty today. If you feel empty, I'll encourage you, you know, come to the altar. Or kneel, or lay down. Let's take this time, listen, let's take this time just to be with the Lord right now as we worship.